Our gospel reading for us this morning places Jesus deep in Gentile country, in the coastal city of Tyre, with Jesus seeking some solitude. It's not exactly clear why Jesus is looking for a place to be alone and unknown to the people. Is he seeking a place to pray and spend time with the Father, as he is wont to do? Is Jesus physically or emotionally drained? After all, he has just recently been mocked and rejected by his own townspeople. For days without respite, he has fed the multitudes, healed the sick, liberated the demon-possessed, and confronted the Pharisees, all while putting up with his perpetually clueless disciples. So it is here, while trying to find some simple R&R, that Jesus is interrupted by this Syrophoenician woman clamoring about her demon-possessed daughter. It is also here that many of us experience a punch to the gut or a lump in our throat brought on by the words of Jesus to this woman, a woman who comes like any parent seeking the healing of their suffering child, seeking the help of one whom she has heard can make her daughter well. The response is not one which we are expecting. We are expecting the compassionate Jesus. We are expecting the Jesus who dines with drunkards and prostitutes. We are expecting the Jesus who feeds the multitudes. We are expecting the Jesus who oozes mercy. This isn't the Jesus she encounters. Now, some may say that this was Jesus' way of drawing forth a faithful response from this individual who so embodied the role of the outsider as a Gentile and as a woman. While still there are others who see this as Jesus speaking from his humanness, a humanist shaped and formed by his time and place, shaped by the conscious and unconscious biases, prejudices, and entitlements of the culture that permeates and surrounds him. Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. This is the reply she gets, a reply that seems to reek of favoritism, a reply that seems to place the house of Israel as the favorites and the rest of humanity, the Gentiles, as second-rate house guests, or even worse, as wild, mangy dogs. Does this come from a place of understanding that the resources of God are somehow limited? Or is the divine plan one to measure out how the resources of God are distributed at a certain place and a certain time? Worse yet, are the resources of God just not for everyone, with insiders and outsiders? Whatever the case may be, the Syrophoenician woman is not daunted by these possibilities, and with quick wit she turns Jesus' response around on him and states, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." She seems to imply to Jesus, "You see, there are crumbs that go unused, and crumbs are actually enough. The resources here are more than enough." In the Epistle of St. James, the Apostle tells us that we should stop showing favoritism in the assembly, treating the rich among us with more honor than the poor. Jesus himself appears to show partiality in his initial response to the Syrophoenician woman. In the Gospel of St. Matthew, his version has Jesus declare that he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. God's resources, they may indeed be more than enough, but they are for the people of Israel. God's favor has been earmarked. Should we be so shocked by this possibility? Favoritism is no new thing. Favoritism has played out in so many ways in our present culture, same as it was in the time of Jesus. We place value in a myriad of ways. We judge and favor by our bodies, our minds, our social ability, our education, our age, the color of our skin, our gender, our sexual preferences, the color of our hair, our size, our stature, our salary, the size of our homes, the size of our backyards, the size of our 401k, the success of our children, whether we have children or whether we don't, whether we talk too much or we talk too little, whether we share too much or not enough. There are hundreds of ways which we calculate worth, and somehow we too act as if resources are earmarked, like our resources are limited. But what St. James shares with us, and what we should take away from Jesus' encounter with both the Syrophoenician woman and the deaf man with the speech impediment, is that God shows no partiality. Just as St. Peter preached to Cornelius and the crowds at Caesarea, there are no favorites when it comes to God and God's favor. And since there are no favorites, then, perhaps there are no boundaries. Perhaps there are no limits to God's resources. These questions are quickly answered as Jesus, following his encounter with the woman, appears to widen the gates once again. In the encounter with the deaf man, a Gentile as well, there is no real hesitation on Jesus' part. There is no verbal rebuke to the man's friends, only the temporary privacy of the healing, taking him away from the crowd and ordering them to tell no one what had transpired. We tend to be comfortable thinking about Jesus eating with sinners, enjoying time with his friends, even weeping at their deaths. We are less comfortable imagining our Jesus as exhausted, wanting to be alone, or even being less than perfectly kind, especially to a desperate mother of a sick child. But if we can stay open to the fullness of Jesus' humanity, if we can hold in tension the idea of the anointed Son of Man is truly human, that he is truly more dimensional and dynamic than we think him to be, then the compassion of Jesus, God's love for humanity embodied in Christ, becomes that much deeper. My brothers and sisters, this Jesus, this Christ of humanity and for humanity, models for us a compassion that breaks down boundaries. Even if we struggle at first with the widening of the gates of our personal partiality and favoritism, may this serve as an example and a reminder for us when we are caught with our compassion running low, or when we encounter another who is not at their best at being a decent civil human being, that there are no favorites in God's eyes. There is no partiality when it comes to the favor of God and God's grace. So may we be compassionate to those who come to us in need, witness to the world the love of God that knows no boundaries, one that receives everyone who brings their needs to Jesus with equal honor as children of God and as heirs of the kingdom. Amen.